A warning, this episode contains a discussion of sex. Most dating shows, whatever their gimmicks, have two things in common. First, they are terrible, and second, they are watchable. That dynamic continues on Peacock with the series Couple to Thruple.
Four couples arrive at a resort and are allowed to choose from a smorgasbord of single people in the hopes that they will find a third who can put the thrup in thruple for them. Drama, you will be shocked to hear, ensues. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. And today we're talking about Couple to Thruple on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining us today is our Pop Culture Happy Hour co-host, Aisha Harris. Hey, Aisha.
Hey, thank you for inviting me into this arrangement.
So, listen, Couple to Thruple is obviously supposed to sound sort of exciting to people who don't know a lot about polyamory, but in a lot of ways, it's a pretty conventional dating show. The host, Scott Evans, welcomes four couples to some sort of resort paradise. All of them have at least some experience with involving other people in either their relationship lives or their sex lives, but all are new to the idea of adding a genuine third person to their relationship. A relationship expert named Shamira Howard is there to guide them as they explore this possibility more fully. The way the show is set up, the couples are presented with this array of single people who all do have some experience with polyamory also, and they get to pick someone and ask them to sort of join their relationship on a trial basis. Every so often, the couples and the single people have an opportunity to either stay together or switch out for somebody else. And in the end, you get to find out whether any of these couples became thruples. The show is streaming on Peacock. And before we get started, look, I do want to say the show is very silly and very weird. And I want to be clear that we are well aware that this is not a representation of ethical non-monogamy as it is practiced by actual humans who are not on television.
No, not at all.
Just like you would not look to, you know, Love is Blind to understand monogamy, you would never look to Couple to Thruple to understand actual polyamory. So the fact that this, I just feel like it's important to be clear, that the fact that this show and these contestants are kind of gleefully trashy in the same way as most dating shows is not a reflection on non-monogamy or non-monogamous people or the way they treat each other. And I did want to be super clear about that before we get started. With that said, Stephen, we need to talk about Couple to Thruple.
We do.
I think I'm going to look to you to just very briefly introduce the couples that we have.
Yes. I mean, as far as initial thoughts go, this is a bad show. I love it.
Yes.
It completely fails to represent the thing that it purports to represent.
Right.
I cannot wait for season two.
Right, sure.
So to get that out of the way, as you kind of suggest up front, this show should be called either Unicorn Hunters or Couple to Threesome, because the initial couples on this show, among other things, they're really weirdly cast, and most of them are new enough to being poly that many of them don't seem poly at all. Mm-hmm. You have Sean and Brittany, whose stated rationale for pursuing polyamory is that they get hit on in clubs.
Yeah.
What got you interested in doing it?
We always get random people approach us like, hey, I think you guys are like hot. I would love to hang out with you. Yeah. And, you know, at first I was like, wait, what?
You have Dylan and Lauren, the bodybuilders, who really come off as kind of run-of-the-mill unicorn-hunting horn dogs.
1 year into our marriage, we had our first threesome experience and brought us that much closer together.
Yeah.
So that was the main reason why we wanted to see if the polyamory world is for us.
Basically, Dylan's whole vibe is like, what if there was a horny bodybuilder in the Cherry Poppin' Daddies?
Or Ronnie from Jersey Shore.
Totally.
That's what he was doing.
And I want to clarify, because we've dropped this term a couple times. My understanding of unicorn hunting is sort of like going out and looking for a woman, usually, right?
Tends to be, this is a gross generalization, but it tends to be a cis hetero couple pursuing a young woman.
Who will essentially give them what they want and ask for nothing in a lot of ways.
Exactly. And I think Dylan and Lauren kind of keep bumping up against this over the course of the show.
Okay.
You have Corey and Wilder, who are kind of, I would describe them as free-spirited LA dirtbags.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've been to Burning Man multiple times.
Yes.
From the day we met, it was just uncontrollable desire.
You have a gay couple, Eshmal and Rahman, whose relationship is so exhausting that I don't care what they do as long as especially Rahman stops talking.
I like to describe our relationship as a couple as being the Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. He is Ryan Reynolds, the handsome, comedic one of the relationship, and then I'm just the beautiful one.
They are such a reminder of the idea that polyamory is from the Greek word for poly, meaning many, and amory, meaning hours of excruciating conversations about non-monogamy.
But again, not for normal people necessarily. Although this is one of the things, like when I wrote about this show for the PCHH newsletter, one of the things I said was like, I think there are people who think that polyamory is going to be like a free-for-all of like, just do whatever you want. And it's going to be just like obligation-free. And when I watch this show, I think like, this seems like a relationship structure for people who like to attend a lot of meetings. Yes. And I actually heard from a couple people who are polyamorous who said, look, for all the other garbage in this kind of setup, that's sort of true. That you do have to be willing to have a lot of conversations, some of which are about logistics. There was one person who said to me, like, listen, the hardest thing about being poly for me is logistics. Just figuring out like who's going to be where when and balancing everybody's needs. So it does have that quality of like you have to be willing to put in a whole lot of work. So those are our four couples. Aisha, give me some initial impressions of what's going on here.
Oh, man. Like Stephen, I just like devoured this and I cannot wait for season two. but here's the thing. Dating shows are basically about the gamification of quote unquote love, right?
Yes.
We are finding all these different ways now to up the ante in terms of its gamification. Yes. It's not so simple anymore. So this show is actually like very complicated. and look, I live in the Bay Area. This is, I don't want to say it's the poly capital of the US, but like there's a lot of poly people and non-monogamous people out here. So they're in my orbit. And when I'm watching this, I just feel kind of bad for the singles.
Yes.
Because
we'll get to that.
The way this show functions is you just have them like come in, show up, like they'll have the mingle, like a mixer where they're drinking, and it like the couples get to just basically like interview various singles, and then they decide to choose if they want to stay or swap. And the stay or swap ceremony, you know, it's the standard, like, you get a rose, but whatever. But instead, you are basically saying, like, if you're already in a throuple that you created on this show, you're like, well, I don't know if we want to stay with this person. We want to swap them out for someone else. And the other person doesn't know what you're going to say in that moment.
And it turns out that the single person can choose to swap out.
Sure.
But the structure of the ceremony seems to be around the couples deciding whether or not to swap the single people.
Exactly. And so you get this very like dehumanizing factor. Yes. And again, like ethical non-monogamy is the word ethical is in there. The whole point
is the first word.
The point is you're trying to make sure people, you're checking in and you're making sure people are okay. And also that like you don't want to be the experiment, even though this is exactly what this show is doing. These people have not had much experience of this. And so you get like all this therapy speak, boundaries, I feel validated, compersion,
your energy.
And it also just doesn't even get into the way that like poly doesn't have to look like this.
Oh,
it doesn't necessarily just mean a tripod.
Of course.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of monogamous view.
Yeah, well, it's a very rigid
polyamory
view of it.
It's like entirely based on triads instead of actual open relationships, which is weird.
I think that all of us in this conversation have at the very least like known people who are poly, right?
Yeah.
And talk to them about that experience and are familiar with how they tend to talk and present it to other people. And I think that if there's one thing I know about it, it's that there are lots of different ways to do it, right?
Yeah.
It's never really clear in this show, like, are we talking about like an equilateral triangle?
Right.
Or are we talking about a paired couple that remains primary to each other with a third person who is secondary to both of them, right? You can do it that way. There are people who do the equilateral triangle thing. But they never talk about which it is. And I think any poly person would tell you that you got to have a clarifying conversation about which it is. And I think one thing that happens on this show sometimes, there's a woman named Sanu who is originally linked with Sean and Brittany. She is a great practitioner of like lots and lots of this like therapy speak and talking about your feelings and your energy.
Well,
she's
also an actual, like, she
actual
is
poly
a
person.
Polyamory therapist. Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of like her, actually. And
I do too.
Me too.
there's a moment where she says to them, like, I'm finding this experience very dehumanizing. And you can see Brittany just, like, flinch.
Like, we're going to use this person as, like, to figure out, you know, if polyamory is for us. Mm-hmm. And that just feels really dehumanizing. You know, just an object for you guys to experiment with or right. figure out. And I know it's not your intention.
And I think it's probably both because she's had experiences where she feels people are being dehumanizing to her. And when she hears that word, it really kind of makes her tense up. Mm-hmm. Honestly, there are moments where they are treating these third human beings like a sex toy, mm-hmm. honestly, yes. like a prop to be added to your relationship, but that does not have any kind of inherent right to any level of really respect that has anything to do with the respect that you and your original partner show to each other. At the very least, you would expect if this was really trying to be about polyamory, that people would sit down and say, like, what are your expectations? Like, are you talking about the equilateral triangle or are you talking about something else?
Well, and I think the show is extremely guilty of that as well in terms of its treatment right. of these people. I mean, my partner and I joke constantly about the days in that we imagine the singles are being, like, stored in.
Oh, my goodness. I want a whole entire show with just the singles yes. to see what they're doing. But apparently they keep them separate. Like in a mm-hmm. hotel, and they keep them separated from each other until they go to.
I want them to have like a big ranch where they hang out together.
Yes,
and classic
yes.
misplaced focus. I was like, what right. are the single people doing? And why aren't they making out? Why aren't we yes. just having the camera trained? Because these people are actually, like, then they'd be on an equal playing field. A lot of those people are really fun. There are singles who seem really cool that we never really get to meet because they don't get picked, including yeah. My partner's big crush. And I felt often like I just want to switch to the single cam and off of the Ramon cam. Like, yeah. I don't want to hear Ashmal and Ramon complain about their relationship and pout and whine and do their whole thing. Like, I want to watch fun people being fun and cool. And we haven't even gotten into Maximo and Ash, a couple that gets introduced.
the chaotic
non-binary, queer, poly couple that gets introduced in episode 4.
This is a time for us to actually lean in.
Like Michael Jackson leaning in.
And there's a hilarious moment where Lena, who is Katie's crush, says to them, like, oh my God, I'm so glad there's somebody here bringing, like, queer energy.
Honestly, I love that you guys are here because you guys bring that queer energy.
Yeah.
And a few of us are, like, waiting for that.
Of, like, oh, my gosh, there are people here who seem to, like, understand what this is about. I wish they'd come on from the beginning. They do a lot for me of like establishing what this show could have been and what it might be in season 2, fingers crossed.
But they also kind of act like jerks some of the time. I don't think they're particularly good examples.
I'm not
of
saying
like,
they're heroes yeah. from start to finish, but they yeah. bring a certain joy and energy that I feel is lacking from a lot of the other couples.
They honestly seemed like the worst kind of stereotype of poly people where they are, look, they're very proud, but they also just have this energy of like, I saw you from across the bar, like let's hang out. And the way that they just kind of come in and even Ashmal and Ramon say to them, they're like, oh, we're so happy to have another queer couple here. But then, of course, it turns into,
rivalry.
Tension there because Jonathan, Ashmal and Ramon's off and on third, we should say, you know, then becomes attached to them for a little bit.
And it just goes back to that like messy gay drama that like I do not want to deal with.
Who's the messy one? As you're like going off on us about the possibility of us choosing Jonathan, when you have a third person here,
the way that these couples sort of operate and the way this show really plays with the idea of jealousy, which comes up a lot, I think, is especially seen through Ashwell and Ramon.
I cannot with these people. These people are not remotely prepared to be in their relationship with just each other.
Right.
Yeah. It's basically the ultimatum, the Netflix yeah. series.
And if you see this show and you want similar mess, Queer Ultimatum.
Mm. Queer, yes, yeah. Yeah, but like that also to me was a show that was like tiptoeing on the edge of being poly or mm-hmm. at least being non-monogamous because the whole premise is that one half of the couple is given an ultimatum and then they go and they get to meet other couples who are also in the same position and then they swap partners right. and then live with them for years. So it's just mm-hmm. it's just an extension mm-hmm. of that, but even more chaotic than that.
Yeah. The other thing that I want to touch on briefly, and we've sort of talked about it, is the relationship between the kind of feelingsy stuff and like I feel a connection with you and the role in this show of sex, which is they also kind of don't make explicit mm-hmm. because, you know, there is an effort in this show to point out correctly that being poly doesn't just mean who you sleep with. It also means the relationship, the actual personal stuff outside of who you sleep with. But there are some of these situations where it seems like the couple, their primary interest is that they want to have sex with somebody yes. as immediately as possible. There's a moment where one of the singles, I think there are a couple of the singles who sort of don't necessarily want to have sex with you right instantly just because you picked them at a ceremony. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of the couples are like, well, I don't know. They don't really seem into it. Like, I don't know if this is what we
cough,
want.
Lauren and Dylan cough.
And it's like, and I get it, right? You're allowed to want to have sex on the first date with someone. But the fact that it's about being poly doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's going to want to have sex with you instantly.
Yep.
Right.
So I thought that was like very odd. And again, it's a thing that they just kind of don't talk about that I think in an actual real life situation, you would have to talk about.
It was interesting to see the couples sort of navigate having those conversations, even though they didn't always come out the way that you would hope that they would. Darian, the third partner of Brittany and Sean, like she is actually the one who wants more physical interaction with both of them, but they seem to be kind of, they're a weird couple. Just seemed like, I don't know if Brittany actually wants this, and it wasn't clear to me from the beginning if she was even into women, because Sean says, like, he's very clear, adamant, like, I'm only into women. And it seemed like for a while she was kind of trying to figure out if she was actually into women. Eventually, like, spoiler, she does come out as bi, but it seemed like she had to really push herself to get there. And even if she is bi, that doesn't necessarily mean that she wants to be in a throuple.
Right.
Right. With this particular person.
Yes.
Right?
Or with anyone. Who knows?
They are the most curiously cast to me because they just seem the farthest removed from the goal. And I found their arc really interesting because I really, really did not like them early on. Particularly Brittany talked to the people they were dating. I found, as Sanu said, dehumanizing. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like their whole kind of vibe and approach to the show. But it was very interesting watching it closely, how deeply bonded they clearly became with everyone else on the show.
Yeah.
And how much they seemed to forge real friendships with other people and speak very compassionately to other contestants and participants yeah. in ways that at one point I really thought, like, should Sean be hosting this show instead of Scott Evans?
That's a good point.
Like, he's got this kind of low-key energy. He is funny. And I just, yeah. and he has a real bond where he seems to care about the other people. He just does not seem to be right for this experiment in the slightest. And so I kept just being like, why are you here? Why are you here? But then his presence yeah. seemed really welcome to the other people. It was very confusing.
I think that's right. Yeah. And my ultimate take on this show is basically that I would never try to lay out, like, here's what the boundaries in a relationship like this should be or have to be or are or whatever. I would have liked to see more time spent kind of actually navigating what those boundaries are going to be and having those conversations. Like, if it comes down to a conflict between me and this other person, you know, do we assume that we're going to side with each other? Do we assume that we put each other first? You know, is all the sex in this relationship going to be three people all together, which is kind of what is suggested on this show.
Which is also very much not how that tends to work.
Exactly. As opposed to like two people at a time. And if it's two people at a time, you get a whole different set of dynamics that you want to navigate about how does it make you feel that this is happening? Because
yeah.
the show seems to find the idea of the threesomes, and there is a fair amount of kind of like night vision footage of people doing various things and making various sounds under blankets and all that stuff.
Sometimes very explicitly.
Yeah, and I think the show wants to show the three people in bed together enough that they don't really want to get into the actual stuff that I think would be interesting about a show like this, which is actually seeing people talk through, like, how do you expect this to work? And having all of those meetings that mm-hmm. I talked about in terms of, like, you gotta go through all that stuff.
I mean, that kind of comes up again with Brittany and Sean and Darian, because Darian at one point says, like, look, I'm also still interested in hooking up with other people.
Yeah.
That again mm-hmm. gets into, like, there are various different types of arrangements like this where the third person is probably or could be dating other people yeah. while also being. So, like, I think seeing that is maybe one of the best parts of the show. Mm-hmm. But to mm-hmm. your point, Linda, like, my takeaway would be make this a little bit more like Love is Blind. I can't believe I'm saying this, but like.
That's your answer to everything.
On that show, they have to venture out into the quote unquote real world. Now, again, it's not really a real world, but at the same time, they do have to kind of figure out what it means to live with each other and meet each other's friends. And they spend a lot of time on this show talking about, oh, is this going to work in the real world? What's going to be like? And half of these throuples, like, they live in different parts. I mm-hmm. think, like, Ashmal and Rahman are in Chicago, and then I can't remember where Jonathan is, but he's nowhere near Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's like, how are you supposed to make that work?
Well, this is one of the things we talked about with Naked Attraction, is that they would set yes. people up and it would be like, you live in Connecticut and he lives in Florida. So like, what's the point? I'm not looking for naked people in Florida. I'm not looking for naked Floridians. I'm looking for naked locals. Well, as you can tell, we would love to hear what you think about Coupled to Thruple. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Aisha Harris, Stephen Thompson, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. I feel validated and seen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I certainly hope so. We want to take a moment to thank our Pop Culture Happy Hour Plus subscribers. We appreciate you so much for showing your support of NPR. If you haven't signed up yet, you want to show your support, and you'd like to listen to this show without any sponsor breaks, head over to plus.npr.org/happyhour or visit the link in our show notes. This episode is produced by Liz Metzger and Anna Isaacs and edited by Jessica Reedy and Mike Katzeff. Hello Come In provides our theme music. Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Linda Holmes, and we'll see you all tomorrow.